Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
And welcome once again to Switzerland in Sound. This is Bob Zanotti. Well, I hope you could hear that church bell in the background because it's a very old church bell because like so many places in Switzerland, we're in a very old city. We're in eastern Switzerland. We're in the city of Chur, C-H-U-R, which is the capital of the state, or canton as it's called locally, of Graubünden, which is also Switzerland's largest member of the Confederation, the canton of Graubünden. It's huge and it's bordered on Italy as well, and a very long common border with Italy, as a matter of fact. I said that was an old church bell, and this is an old city. As a matter of fact, it is the oldest city in Switzerland. And someone who knows a great deal about it is Theresia Ling. Theresia, what's the story about Chur being the oldest city in Switzerland? How old is it?
Now, it's 13,000 years old, would you believe? We were the oldest already before, 5,000 years ago, but as somebody, a hotel director, wanted to build an underground parking garage, they were digging and digging and digging, and all of a sudden they found some proof that Chur had already civilization 11,000 BC. Hopefully soon we will find out who these people were.
Chur is a very Roman town for me because you have a definite Latin southern influence here. The predominant language is German, but I call it an interface between north and south, and there's a good reason for that because Chur's history is very, very closely knit with the Roman past, the classic Roman past.
You're so right. 15 BC, the Romans came here to stay here for about 450 years, and they showed us how to eat well and how to drink.
How to live.
And how to live. That's maybe why they call us that we're a little bit slower than the rest of Switzerland, but still we enjoy life very much around here. And as you can see, people are sitting outside even in a weekday and just have a coffee.
And also, we're standing right now in what I call the piazza, and because it is so Roman. It's not a town square in the Anglo-Saxon sense. It is just a big, wide-open area where people are sitting, as we've described it, where there's so much life. People walk through here. People are great walkers, as a matter of fact. We're in the old town, and these winding streets with these beautiful old houses, they're hundreds of years old, aren't they?
Yes, they date back. Actually, where we're looking at the moment, all around us, these houses were built in the 16th or 15th centuries. Of course, we had a great fire here in 1464, where everything burned down, but they rebuilt the houses exactly the same place as you see them now, and they're built, of course, now on concrete, with concrete and not with wood, of course, but they are date back from the 16th century.
And the pavement here, it's not asphalt or concrete, it is stonework. I mean, this is incredible, the work involved in these laying these individual stones, obviously thousands of them. Again, very typically Italian, very southern.
Exactly, and the way of life anyway is very much. And we're standing here in front of the public library, which is written in our three languages which are spoken in the canton of Graubünden.
Yeah, this is a trilingual canton, German, Italian, and Romansch, which is Switzerland's fourth national language. It's a very special language. They say it's a mixture of Alemannic, Latin, Italian. It has its own character, doesn't it?
That's right. And we have different dialects, so to speak. And they're trying to get one which is called the Romansch Grisun.
You know, they've been trying that for years.
That's right. But finally they found it that they should write in this language.
The kind of classic common language.
Exactly. So everybody can understand it. Actually, if a Portuguese speaks Portuguese with a Romansh speaking person, they understand each other, but they speak completely different languages. So you can imagine, this language is a base of the Latin and the Celtic language. So these people understand, or they speak very quickly Mediterranean languages, and also English, but German is very difficult for them.
Yeah, because Romansh is a Latin language. It's definitely, it's Romance language.
Exactly, that's what it is.
Let's hear how it sounds. This is Romansch.
post ante la nagiadegna bassa e saminjung presentem duman a scuol la urbistia, siven interruptium da cingions, piontor l'exposizium da movel internazionala avant dusons, vin puspeman utras l'exposizium distrittuala. Dalla parteida duman a scuol, 56 posts cun passa 200 bestias da differents geners, Reto Meier.
Una simile exposizione è un dei punti culminanti durante l'anno per le pausse. Da una parte può essere presentato il prodotto, vuol dire le più belle bestie, da quella parte è un incontro importante con la popolazione napaurile della regione. E per Matthias Kurat, presidente del comitato d'organizzazione, è un grande successo che piglia in parte 56 pausse a quell'exposizione.
A sample of Romansh from Radio Romansh, which is the local radio station here broadcasting in Romansh. It's quite interesting, just over the border to the east in Italy, they also speak a language which is very similar. Those people in the Engadine portion of Graubünden can understand the people across the border. There it's called Ladino, and it's exactly the same language in the South Tyrol, in that particular area. They're the same people, basically.
Exactly. They're the same people, and they have also almost the same culture. They live the Italian way.
Well, there's another good reason why there's such an Italian influence here. This was a very heavily Romanized area. This was the capital of what the Romans called Rezia Prima, which was a province of ancient Rome and a very important trading center. This is where people stayed after they came over the Alps.
That's right. And therefore, you see, it was the Romans, especially, they probably thought how they found out how important this place is. As you mentioned before, it's the door between north and south. And of course, because it's a little bit higher, Kur is about 630 meters above sea level, you could see on the, all over the valley, mm-hmm. along the valley.
Very important for strategic reasons.
Strategic reason, exactly. That's why the Romans were staying quite long, quite a long time here.
There's something else we know about the ancient Romans. It's an old saying, which is really true. Two things that the Romans did first when they founded a new settlement somewhere: they planted wine grapes and they built a spa, a public bath, and the Rhine River goes right through here.
That's right. We are also situated, embedded in the Rhine Valley, of course, but it's the young Rhine, it's not the big.
It's the clean one that starts up in the mountains just nearby.
Yes, all right.
Also, you have very, very interesting food specialties, and they have like Romansh-sounding names. You have maloons and pizzokol and things like this.
Yes, it's maloon. Kapunts-like, and maloons, to give you a brief idea, you know what it's all about. Maloons is made out of potatoes and flour and water.
A bit like gnocchi.
Yes, that's right. And the kapunts is some kind of a salad leaf, an open salad leaf, which has been cooked. And in there is some salami and some potatoes as well, and it's rolled to a little piece of, we would say, a spring roll, like, mm-hmm. from around here. Mm-hmm. But it's made out of salami and this salad leaf.
Bit like a stuffed cabbage, those lines.
It's very near to that, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you have fantastic restaurants. I know Switzerland, you eat well in general, but Chur has got a very, very high standard of eating. And if you want to try these local specialties, there are a couple of places that do them. I mean, it's really home cooking. This is the kind of way people would eat at home here.
Exactly. And because the restaurants are not so big, you know, you're even treated like...
They're not expensive either.
It depends. You can get more expensive one or less expensive, but you can get everything, and especially these local foods, you can get them everywhere.
And people still take time out for long lunches here. That's another Mediterranean influence. None of this 30 minutes, throw down a sandwich and back to work. You don't go for that.
Not at all. It's slow food over here. It's like normally you have lunchtime is like 1.5 hours to 2 hours. So people still eat in here. Therefore, the restaurants, of course, can live off the people who work here, which the population here in Chur is about 34,000 inhabitants. And most of them are working here, you know. know.
Also in other parts of Switzerland, but it's so nice here too, the shopping possibilities. Chur is a small place, but yet you have tremendous shopping possibilities here. Also in the old shops, those beautiful old shops of all kinds of clothing boutiques and things of that kind, but you also have pastry shops and bakeries. And I mean, it's just, for some people, in the best sense of the term, it would be like going back into history. These things just don't exist everywhere in the world these days.
Yeah, you're right, because it's because people are still very much involved in the culture, and they try to do handwork even, and bakeries.
This is their lives here.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just work here, they live here, and they literally live every minute of it.
Exactly, they do live here, and they do live from the people who live here. So therefore, it's very important that they stay here.
And there are some very important names in culture and art who come from the canton of Graubünden, and a couple of them very local and nearby. One of them I think of is Hans-Rudi Giger, and if that doesn't mean anything to you, if you're a moviegoer, you'll remember those awful creations in the movie Alien. He created them and won an Oscar for them. He's from Chur. In fact, he has a bar here, doesn't he?
Exactly, yeah. And we're very proud to have a bar here, because we're not the only one. It's here, New York and Japan. I mean, Tokyo has got a bar like this. But this guy got inspired here by the mountains around here and the gorges which exist around here. And he actually studied architecture, but he is a very special man, and well, he got a very creative man, put it this way. And this horrible thing, I hope we haven't got them around here, but he created it in Chur.
Yeah, quite an imagination.
Quite imagination, that's true.
And Giacometti, the sculptor, I mean, he was not from Chur, but he was again from Graubünden. And the painter Karicet, I believe.
Karicet, yes, he was from nearby, that's right. And Giacometti, of course, Alberto Giacometti, the guy who made these sculptures, he didn't come from here, but we had a great exhibition the other year from him with all his work. And Augusto Giacometti, one of his cousins, he actually made the windows in the church, in the St. Martin's Church, in the year 1909, which are made quite modern. If you come and see them, you know, you will see that for the year 1909, it was quite modern, and that was Augusto Giacometti. Mm.
Again, a reminder, these Italian names, that this is a trilingual canton where German, Italian, and Romansh are spoken. Well, it's so pleasant to just stay here in the piazza. Those people are not moving from those tables over there. And you know what's nice? No one pushes you. You can sit with a glass of wine all afternoon. No one is going to come and say, is there anything more? And shove the bill under your nose. If you're sitting there, you've bought your way into the restaurant. You are not pushed. This is, again, the southern approach to life.
The way of
it's
life.
Slow and easy. Here's the Volksbibliothek. This means the public library,
which is just across the road here, which is also integrated in the Butchers Guild House.
A long walkway underneath here. It's like a tunnel going through here. Very low archways, and you really have to keep your head down here. And these things are old. Yes, these centuries old here.
16th century.
And lots of stone again. Yes. It's so Roman, it's incredible. And look at this. Here's a piece of rock, a rock formation. They decided to... Don't fight it. Just leave it there and build a house around it.
Exactly. That's what they did. Because behind here, there's a river, a little river called Plaisir. If you think of pleasure, you might remember this name of the river. And the houses were built on rocks so that nobody could come in. If he didn't pay, they just told him to go away again.
Oh, there were tolls here at the time.
Of course.
To pay tributes.
You couldn't get in here without paying a toll, of course. That comes back from the Romans, you know. They actually asked also for money. If anybody wanted to pass over here, over the passes, they had, of course, to pay something.
And if you didn't want to pay, you didn't argue with the Roman soldiers. You simply turned around and went home.
Just turned around and went back your own way, where you came from.
Well, times, fortunately, have changed for the better in that respect. No more tolls to go from town to town in Switzerland. That was a long, long time ago. Full of archways. Oh, look at these.
These are the windows from Augusto Giacomo.
What church is this?
This is St. Martin's Church.
This is St. Martin's, and these are the colored glass, isn't it?
Colored glass.
Stained glass.
Exactly, stained glass made in the year 1909 by Augusto Giacometti.
Could we go in there and just have a look in the side entrance, see what it looks like inside? Well, to anyone who loves stone pavements, cobblestones, this is the place to come. It brings you back into history here. I've no idea if we can actually go inside. And this church itself is how old?
It's built in the 8th century.
Oh, boy. Oh, this is beautiful inside here. Oh, look at this.
It is a Protestant church. It used to be Roman Catholic, but it became Protestant after the Reformation. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you can see there is no altar like in the Roman Catholic churches. Now, take a look at these windows.
Superb.
And actually, you see this stone, this birth, when children are baptized. This is Ragazzer Marmor. Mm-hmm. Over there.
Well, Bad Ragaz is very close to your home, and it's marble. It's marble from that area.
Exactly, but we don't cultivate it anymore. I mean, we don't get it anymore from. Yeah. But this is the old times. It dates back from the 19th century. That's when they got it still.
And a beautiful pipe organ there. The pipes are right in front of us where the altar was. It must put out a terrific sound.
Which is very unusual normally. You don't put an organ in front of you in a church.
Normal, usually in the back.
Yes, exactly. But here they made it to the choir as well, which is singing here.
And beautiful wooden pews. This is heavy, heavy wood of some kind here, all sculptured.
Yes, all sculptured. It's also from these, if I'm not wrong, it's from the 16th century.
And also, quite interestingly enough, there are Corinthian columns here, but they're made of wood and not of stone.
Very unusual in this church, but because this hasn't been originally, it hasn't been here, mm-hmm. the choir place, which is at the back of the church, so therefore they just put, hopefully it's going to hold the whole of the place on top of us.
And in the construction here as well, the finish, the walls, they're stucco walls. Again, the legacy of the Romans.
Yes, definitely.
Very typical.
Yes, very typical.
And a heavy use of wood. And of course, let's not forget that wood is a great insulator, and it does get cold here, doesn't it?
Yes. So we're trying going out into sunshine.
Yes, it's always nicer to go in the sunshine. But actually, Coor has a fairly mild climate because you have that fern wind or the warm wind. It doesn't get extremely cold here, does it, as a rule?
There are times, but it's very short times.
A day or two, maybe.
A day or two when it's very cold. And it's actually the place is known as the place where it rains the least in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where I live in Bad Ragaz, you know, I can leave there. It's raining very much. Here, nothing. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it is in a hole, but it's very nice. It's dry and it's good for the wine.
I can attest to that, because having drunk the wine from here on many occasions, I know that it is very, very good wine indeed. Not much traffic. It's mainly just delivery vans, but you don't find private cars coming up here very much at all. It's pretty quiet, basically.
Actually, in the old town, private cars are forbidden, mm-hmm. you know, just maybe deliveries sometimes, because there are some restaurants, as you can see. But otherwise, after midday, there is no car allowed in the old.
It's a pretty quiet place otherwise.
Should be, yes.
Yeah. So many people, I guess everyone has heard of Davos, you know, the World Economic Forum, and everybody's heard of the great glitter resort of St. Moritz. This is not too far away in the canton of Graubünden, right here, this canton we're in. And you have to pass through, or most people pass through, Coor to get there, and it would be nice for people to spend a couple of days to experience this beautiful city and discover it, because it really is a place which is not on the touristic map necessarily. Many people don't know about it. It's not part of the grand tour, but you're missing so much by passing up a place like this.
You're so right. Normally people just pass here for a day or two and then they go away, because from here it always used to be a transit city. Coor was always a transit city.
On the Roman days.
Exactly. But therefore, it makes it so charming, you know, that it kept all this Italianità. so to speak. So we try and keep it the way it used to be.
And this is genuine. This is not a show. This is not an exhibition. This is not a theme park. This is everyday life for the people who live here. That's why it's so beautiful, because it's genuine.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly what you mentioned it. That's right. That's the way it is.
And you can spend so much time, the little alleyways and those complicated tunnels and archways where you have to keep your head down. And the shops here of the old town, people can just walk around here constantly. I know you've had some visitors from abroad. I think you were telling me once about a couple of American journalists who'd been here, and they just didn't believe it.
Yes, exactly. They said, because just it was written in, a New York Journal once, wherever, it was written that somebody said it's an urban haven. So they said, we have to go there. We have to see it. There must be something very special about it. Now, it's not. It's just genuine. It's just the way it
is. They just weren't used to seeing anything like that.
Exactly. It's just the way it is. You know, you come here and either you feel good or you don't, but most of the people say, I'm surprised. Yeah. Very surprised.
Well, Cur or Curia, that was the Roman name, wasn't it? The Latin name. It was certainly well known among the travelers of the classic days, of the poets and the writers, the days of the English Grand Tour and so on, because they were interested in studying culture in our hectic world today. Tourism took over, where people just raced through and did some shopping and got back on the bus. This is not the place where you do that kind of thing. This is for people who really want to spend a little time, slow down, and become part of the community, part of the people. And people are so friendly. You're still greeted in the street here. Everyone knows everyone else. And the pace is just beautiful.
More or less, yes. The people know each other. But just to say, some very important people like Martin Luther apparently came into the St. Martin's Church and had a speech for 10 minutes, you know, because he knew the person who was just the priest at the moment, at that time, was here. And, you know, so we have a lot of people who came here and just passed here and remembered it in their own books, maybe, which they have written, or in their journals, whatever. And that's the sound of St. Martin's Church.
I'm just guessing at this. I'm not completely sure, but I think of names like Goethe. I think of names like Lord Byron. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if these notables had been here over the centuries.
Of course, like Duc de Rohan, for instance. You know, we still have a hotel called after this gentleman, and these were very important people. Like they were working sort of like for the Swiss Federation at the time, of course, but they were working for the area here, mm-hmm. and they brought the name
to build up infrastructure,
exactly.
and so on.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Which reminds me, the Rhaetian Railway, which is Switzerland's largest private railway, this is the way to see Graubünden. You don't really want to see it by car. You don't need it, because some of these sites are so breathtaking. The landscape, you don't want to have your eyes on a road. You want to have them on the mountains as you go by. And then, unless you've seen it, you can't possibly imagine how beautiful it is. It's the best way to travel. And the headquarters are right here in Chur. This is where you get on the Rhaetian Railway.
Yes, you see, even I am impressed sometimes when I go down to the south part of the canton, to Poschiavo, for instance, with the Rhaetian train line.
Very close to Italy.
Exactly. Or if I go to Davos, or if I go to St. Moritz, or Arosa is another sports resort place. Every time I think these people were pioneers. 100 years, over 100 years ago, they built all these beautiful viaducts and the bridges, whatever you
see. Some of the classic rail pictures of Switzerland are taken in Graubünden.
Exactly. It's absolutely fabulous to see that. So if you do come to Chur and would like to see something else, or go up to Arosa or to Davos and St. Moritz, take the train. It's actually, as you said, breathtaking.
And many, many day trips you can take from here. I mean, it's well located. Zurich is close by. The inner Graubünden is close by. St. Gallen is close by. You really, you can go in all directions, and it doesn't take much time to get where you want to go.
No, within about, let's say, 2 hours is the most that we need to go to Italy, for instance, or it's only about a half an hour to go to Vaduz, for instance, or to Austria. And to Germany, of course, it takes about 3/4 so now for me, by car.
And in terms of accommodation, you're not going to find big 1,000-bed hotels here. This is not that kind of place. It's still small family establishments.
Yes, exactly. And it's also like a family tradition in some hotels. You know, I think you get the most of the rooms you get is about 50 to 60 rooms in one hotel. That's how the range you have to think about.
And when you're in there, you're made to feel like an individual.
Yes, exactly. That's what they're trying to do here anyway, because people used to and still do just pass through here. Therefore, the little time they stay here, they take very well care of them.
And there's a tourist office not far from the central station, very centrally located. No problem finding information about Chur. That is not a problem at all, like most places of Switzerland. Well, we could go on and on, as always, Theresia Ling, but I think we've covered so much territory now that I have to, unfortunately... Bern is a nice place, a nice area, the Emmental where I live, but I love Chur. I could find it painless to live here, and I always enjoy coming back, but I have to think of going back to the Bern area by train, of course, which is my favorite way to travel in this country. And we're back here in the sunshine and people sitting at the tables, these ancient fountains. Here's one here. Looks like it's ages old.
Yes, this is also the underpart here. This is original. It's from the 12th century. The top is from the 18th century.
Roman soldier.
Yes, the Roman soldier.
And the ibex, which is the national, it's the cantonal animal, isn't it, the coat of arms.
Oh, yes. This is not to forget. The ibex is very important for the people around here. They identify themselves, actually. If you have an ibex behind... on your car or wherever it is, you are from here, you know, definitely.
And it's the ibex is very much at home in these rough mountains. This is one part of Switzerland where you can still find some wilderness, and it is the home of the Swiss National Park, which is on the border with Italy.
The border of Italy, up in St. Moritz area, just to give you a rough idea where it could be, and it's absolutely wonderful there.
You can still get lost up there.
Oh, yes, you can.
That can't be said for all of Switzerland. It's a beautiful country, but a lot of people live here, and such a small place. Here you still have the wild and wide open spaces. Well, I keep trying to sign off, but it's so hard. We could just keep talking on and on and on here. I'd love to spend more time, but I'll certainly be back. Theresia Ling, thank you so much. Chur, in eastern Switzerland, the capital of the canton or state of Graubünden, also known as the Grissens, and the oldest city in Switzerland. Thanks so much again. For Switzerland in Sound, this is Bob Zanotti.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, SwitzerlandInSound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs, SwitzerlandInSound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on.
The British DX Club is one of the world's leading DX clubs, with hundreds of members both in the UK and around the globe. BDXE produce a comprehensive monthly magazine called Communication, covering all aspects of the DXing hobby. The BDXE Audio Circle is also available and is a monthly program of DX catches and general chat about radio. For more information, please write to the British DX Club, 10 Hemdene Hill, Caversham, Reading, RG4, 7SB in the United Kingdom, or visit the website at www.bdxc.org.uk. That's www.bdxc.org.uk.
Hi, I'm Peter Anthony Holder, and I would like you to join me for a very eclectic and different kind of radio show. It's called the Stuff File Program. Where else would you get to hear a well-renowned Hollywood acting teacher, a best-selling science fiction writer, a guy who teaches llamas how to be golf caddies, or the man who has Hitler's toilet, all wrapped up with some of the oddest news stories around? It's a rhetorical question. There's only one place, the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. There are various ways to catch the show. You can find it at my website at peteranthonyholder.com. Check out my blog at peteranthonyholder.blogspot.com. Find it at cyberstationusa.com, radioforall.net, or simply subscribe to it on iTunes. You've forgotten all those places already, haven't you? Okay, just Google the title. It's called the Stuff File program, and stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. Catch it, enjoy it, and have a chuckle or two. The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Radio will never be the same again.